Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for May 13th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Knowing what sarcasm actually is, being able to define that, that's a learned social concept.
Patients with this disease often behave in unusual ways, and we don't really understand why.
It's not clear that you couldn't completely erase the memory.
We have neurons from an identified patient that we can examine in a dish.
This week, researchers are using stem cells to understand what goes wrong in the brains of schizophrenia patients. Also, how vehicle exhaust could damage the brain. And scientists have located the brain region responsible for embarrassment. But first, Suzanne Bard reports that sarcasm could help screen for dementia.
Most people can recognize sarcasm and insincerity, but those with a neurodegenerative disease called frontotemporal dementia lose this skill.
Frontotemporal dementia patients, or FTD patients, actually have some pretty severe social deficits. They develop them really early in the disease. You know, a lot of dementias, people have trouble interacting socially later, but with FTD, it happens right away.
University of California, San Francisco neuropsychologists Tal Shawnee-Ur and Kate Rankin found that patients couldn't detect satirical or deceptive speech. Rankin explains.
Knowing what sarcasm actually is, being able to define that, that's a learned social concept. And when you lose the part of the brain where those concepts are sort of stored, then you lose the ability to know that somebody's being sarcastic.
Since social skills often erode before cognitive decline sets in, the findings could help detect dementia early, when treatment is most effective.
Thanks, Suzanne.
I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl.
Many things in life are embarrassing, like singing in public. Now, researchers have identified the region of the brain responsible for humiliation. University of San Francisco clinical psychologist Virginia Sturm and her colleagues had volunteers watch themselves sing My Girl. Most showed signs of embarrassment, such as excessive smiling, an elevated heart rate, and sweaty hands.
This, in healthy people, elicits a pretty good embarrassment reaction.
But dementia patients with damage to an area of the medial frontal cortex of the brain showed little such humiliation.
The frontotemporal patients really aren't fazed by the task. They don't smile, they don't laugh, they don't really react at all.
She says emotions like embarrassment are important because they help us behave in socially appropriate ways.
When we experience embarrassment, our autonomic nervous system kicks into gear. We might feel our face begin to flush and look down and kind of smile or laugh nervously. And this all motivates us to repair any kind of social gaffe that we've created.
Next, in complex mental disorders like schizophrenia, it's assumed that brain cells miscommunicate. But so far, there's been no way to figure out exactly what goes wrong. Reporter Justin Warner tells us about a new advancement that could change that.
Skin cells from schizophrenic patients have been reborn in the lab as dysfunctional brain cells that may shed light on the donor's illness. Neurobiologist Fred Gage and geneticist Kristen Bernand of the Salk Institute in La Jolla, California, co-designed the experiment. Gage's team reprogrammed the skin cells to revert to an embryonic form, much like stem cells.
And those stem cell-like cells can be converted into neurons. And now what that means is we have neurons from an identified patient that we can examine in a dish.
They used a modified rabies virus to trace connections between the neurons. Compared with reprogrammed neurons from mentally healthy patients, schizophrenic neurons formed fewer connections with one another.
We then narrowed in on what the connections looked like, and we found very specific proteins at the points of their connections, which were decreased.
Gage and Bernand's team also identified genetic pathways that were malfunctioning in the schizophrenic neurons, pathways that had never been linked to schizophrenia before. Another experiment tested the effects of antipsychotic drugs on the cells.
Of the drugs that we tested, five of them had some effect on different patients' neurons, but one drug had an effect on all five of the patients and increased the connectivity between the cells.
That's consistent with what psychiatrists have long known, that not every drug works in every patient. Right now, finding the right drug often involves a long period of trial and error. This technique may pave the way for a more personalized approach, analyzing a cell culture from each patient to figure out which drugs to use. Gage says the technique will also help scientists understand the disease better by allowing them to do something they couldn't do before, study living neurons from human patients.
Thanks, Justin. It's well known that pollution from car exhaust can cause respiratory problems, but scientists are learning that it can also affect the brain. Suzanne tells us about tiny particles that may cause big problems.
If commuting makes you feel like you're losing your mind, you may be right. Recent evidence suggests that vehicle pollution damages the brain as well as the lungs. The latest comes from University of Southern California neurobiologist Caleb Finch. His group looked at the tiniest airborne pollutants, called nanoparticles, which are the hardest to control.
These are not filtered by catalytic converters. They're not trapped by any of the recognized building filters. And they are thus far not on the EPA's list of health hazards.
In both live mice and cultured rat cells, Finch's team found that the nanoparticles damaged neurons associated with learning and memory. They also caused inflammation suggestive of premature aging and stunted the growth of developing brain cells.
Thanks, Suzanne. The states of Utah and Hawaii have high levels of reported happiness, along with some of the highest suicide rates. It's true even after correcting for differences in employment, income, and other factors, according to a study in the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization. The researchers suspect that people constantly compare their feelings with the moods of those around them. Being depressed in a happy community can make people feel worse than they already do. In other psychology news, scientists report in the journal Biological Psychiatry that people with high levels of the brain chemical serotonin see more romance in the world. Researchers gave volunteers a drink that elevated their levels of serotonin and then showed them pictures of couples. The volunteers rated the photos as significantly more romantic than did the volunteers who didn't get the serotonin boost. In the 2004 movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Jim Carrey played a man who had a painful memory erased. In today's final story, Suzanne reports on research that makes that scenario a little less far-fetched.
For the first time, scientists have erased a specific long-term memory, or at least greatly weakened it. The subject of the experiment was a sea snail, and neuroscientist David Glansman of the University of California at Los Angeles led the study. His team trained the snails to recoil from a touch to the midsection. Then they inhibited a memory-related enzyme in the relevant nerve cells. The recoiling reflex disappeared. Glansman notes that human memory is far more complex, but he says eventually a similar technique might help quiet down painful memories in patients with post-traumatic stress disorder. And other work suggests that turning up the same enzyme could make a memory stronger.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you how the soaring price of gold is damaging the Peruvian rainforest and how gold nanoparticles could fight cancer. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.